So I was at a conference over the weekend and so many people told me I was a great closer because we had a booth at the event and a lot of people would come up and talk to me and I was able to close them to buy tickets to come to the CEO Lawyer Summit. And in trying to figure out what my next topic should be, I realized that I haven't done a podcast on closing. So today's episode of the CEO Lawyer Podcast is about how I close sales. This is going to be exceptionally beneficial for the people that want to know when they have customers, they have leads, and they want to get them to close and become their customers, become their clients. So without further ado, I'm attorney Ali Awad, the CEO Lawyer. This is Sales Closing 101. So there's a five-step process for me, and a lot of people will bypass a lot of these depending on where you are in your life. At first, you get paid for what you do. You have a skill, you have an attribute, you have some sort of value that you can contribute to society, and you get paid in direct proportion to what you do. Eventually, when you get really good at what you do, people pay you for that knowledge. You get paid for what you know. And for the coaches, for the mentors, for the more experienced entrepreneurs and business people and professionals, they get paid simply for what they know, not for actually doing the work that they've been doing for the past 5, 10, 15, 20 years. But then branding takes a huge play and you get paid for who you are. Your goal as an entrepreneur, as a professional, as an influencer, as a brand ambassador is to get paid for who you are. Simply when someone sees your name, they're like, yep, I'm gonna pay that person whatever they ask for because that's who they are. They already have the credibility in the industry. They already have the qualifications. I don't need to check their pedigree. We know who they are and they can ask for whatever they desire. So with that being said, understand where you are in that trajectory. Are you still in the phase where people don't really know you and you don't really have that brand recognition and you simply get paid for what you do? Or have you been doing something for a very long time and now people want to buy your knowledge? They just want access to you. So are you paying for hourly consulting or coaching? Or are you at a level where you simply get paid just for your name? So when it comes to closing, that is relevant because it depends on the rapport that you have to establish. I think one of the most important things, step one, is in grabbing people's attention. Could be done on social media, that could be done when you're at a conference, that could be done when you're at the flea market. We had this guy named Pablo when I was growing up in Dalton, Georgia, and we would always go to the flea market every weekend to try to sell the leftover car audio wheels and electronics. And Pablo, this guy looked like Danny Trejo, you know, from Breaking Bad and all those other movies. He's like the proverbial Mexican actor that you would want. He had the long hair, he had the scratched up face, he had the really deep, raspy voice. And so anytime he would see customers walking by, he'd be like, yo, what's going on, you mother flowers? Come over here, let me show you something. And it would always grab people's attention. And the thing about Pablo was that no matter where he was, he could always grab people's attention. And as a result, it would lead to the most sales. He wasn't necessarily the closer, because it's a very different skill from grabbing people's attention to getting them to take out that credit card, to take out that cash and actually pay. I consider myself more of a closer than the actual attention grabber. It's harder for me to be that ostentatious, obnoxious actor. I try because I know how important it is, but the very first thing is you gotta grab people's attention. You can grab people's attention with 50 billboards on the highway. You can grab people's attention by being on the RDS screen on the radio on every single radio station. You can grab people's attention by blasting a certain location on social media, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, whatever, so that every other ad is your name, your video, your face. You can grab people's attention through email marketing. You can grab people's attention with mailers that you send to people. The point is, you have to grab people's attention. My favorite example is when you're going to Costco. Let's say you're going to Costco to buy one of those rotisserie chickens for $5. And there's a whole story about why that is a loss leader for Costco. They put it all the way in the back and they will always sell their rotisserie chickens for $5, even though they lose money on it, because they know by the time you get to the back of Costco to get that $5 chicken, the average customer is spending $123 shopping around the store. So you go for the chicken, but you leave with $123 worth of stuff. So in Costco, there's always these salespeople. And the salespeople have their product or service that they want to offer. And my favorite salespeople are the ones that can grab your attention right away. Here's an example. You're walking with your spouse, your family, whatever, and someone's like, wow, bro, I love those shoes. Where did you get them? And the typical person is not just going to ignore and be like, yeah, sorry, I don't speak English, which I do sometimes. But the typical person's gonna be like, oh man, honestly, I just got them from Foot Locker. I was, you know, it was just this one place or whatever. And especially if it doesn't have to be shoes, it could be like your shirt, your hat, whatever. Dude, I love the way you did your hair, man. What kind of gel do you use? Grabbing people's attention to get them to start talking to you. That person that's walking past you with the shopping cart and you're sitting right there in Costco as the salesperson or at a conference or at the flea market, wherever you are, if you don't grab that person's attention, they can never buy from you. And it's the same thing that I try to teach lawyers on social media, is no one can buy from you if they don't know that you exist. So it doesn't matter how you grab people's attention. The point is that they know that you exist now. And so if you come at them where they are and you meet them somewhere that entices them and encourages them to open up, you got that huge wall around your prospective clients and customers, and you Hulk smash through the first one, now you've got their attention. Once you grab their attention, the very next step, step two, is to build rapport. How do you build rapport? By listening to your prospect. Sometimes it's just making them feel good. Everyone loves talking about themselves. Everyone loves talking about how successful they are or what they've done or their families or their accomplishments. People like talking about themselves. So listen, let them talk about themselves and figure out what pain points they may have. Now, if you're not in a setting where you have strangers walking by, then the grabbing the attention thing doesn't really apply, because if someone is coming into your store or they're calling your office or they're coming into your specific location, it's different because they're kind of there for the specific purpose, there's a specific intent. So you go straight into the building the rapport. This is where you ask questions, you qualify that person and make sure that they can actually afford or they would be a qualified customer for the product or service that you have, which is step three. You qualify the lead. Now, some people will come into your store and they're just window shoppers. Some people will come into your office and they're just trying to find, you know, the right lawyer. Sometimes they don't meet the criteria to become your customer. Not every single person that you come in contact with is going to be a prospective client. However, every person you come in contact could be a potential referral source. So just because the person that you're talking to isn't going to become your customer, your client, doesn't mean you automatically push them away and you put them to the side just because they can't buy from you or they can't hire you. That person could always be a referral source. And so I think there's a sort of a graph that goes here. So once you've gotten the lead, you've grabbed their attention, you've built the rapport, you've asked them qualifying questions, and you've qualified the lead. If it's a disqualified lead, you still give them the time of day, you still give them the attention, and tell them how, hey, for this particular product or service, I don't think it's a good fit for you, and you explain to them why it's a disqualified. And you honestly get so much more credibility by disqualifying someone. Just yesterday, for example, I was talking to a lawyer that I was planning on hiring because we are in a super high growth mode. And yes, I have to close people on coming to work for me, but I'm kind of lazy in the fact that I would rather only hire people that already know who I am and they want to join the company. So, because I don't have to build the rapport and explain to them how awesome we are, blah, 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 blah. So I'm talking to this lawyer. He's already making over $1 million a year and he wants to join the organization, but I straight up told him, look, man, it's probably not a good fit for you because I can't pay you $1 million a year right out the gate. And you got three kids. It's gonna take a couple of years for you to get back up to that point. You won't make $1 million from year one, but you probably will make it after year three, year four. But you're gonna have to have all that delayed gratification. And I don't know if it's consistent with your current growth trajectory and your needs. So I disqualified him as a prospective employee the same way I would disqualify someone as being a prospective client. Like someone calls my office, they've been in an accident, it's a very minor impact, they haven't seen a doctor in about a month, and I told them, just settle the case with the insurance company on your own, here's how you do it. You call them, you send them your medical bills, and you tell them, I want $5,000 for my accident, otherwise I'm hiring a lawyer. You never accept the first offer that they give you. You make them a counter, you drop by 500 bucks, then they're gonna come up, then you drop again, and then you meet them somewhere in the middle. They're gonna be at like 1,000, you're gonna be at like 4,000, and you're gonna meet somewhere in the middle. So I can teach people how to not be my clients. I can teach people how to not be my employees, but as a result, I have credibility with them and I have their respect because I already have their attention. Now I just want them to respect me. Those same people are so much more likely to become your clients in the future. That's why, honestly, I spend more time with people that are not prospective clients and not going to be my customers than the ones that are. Because the ones that can't be my clients and they're not qualified to be my clients, they don't have a case that I can actually work on, they need my help more than the ones that actually need me. Because I know if you come on as a client for my law firm, I know you're gonna be taken care of. I have the best team. I will put my people up against anyone in the world. We have an exceptional team. Every single one of the people in my organization is a rock star. So I know if you hire my law firm, you're going to be taken care of exceptionally. But the people that don't become my clients, those are the people that I actually spend more time with because I know I can't help them as a customer, as a client. So I have to give them a little bit more time and attention to guide them. Hey, here's how you settle your case on your own. Or here's the immigration lawyer that I would recommend. Or here's the family law attorney that can help with this specific issue. Or here's how you become a qualified client. Or here's how you adjust your insurance for future reference. Whatever the case is, I spend more time with disqualified clients than the qualified ones. Because I think karma plays a huge role. And I think if you actually take care of people that you don't bring on as customers just as much or more than the ones you bring on as customers, that builds a massive referral network. Those people will be your fans and they will become either a referral source or your client at some point. Now, if they're qualified, here's what I like to do. I automatically go into educating the prospect. So if you've talked to the client, you've obviously grabbed their attention first, you've listened to them and built that rapport, and now you've qualified them. You know they have the resources, they have the same pain points that you can solve, and you can close them. You know that this person would benefit from your services or your product. Now you go to educating that prospect. And I like to educate to sell. I don't like to force sell. Now, there are times and situations where it makes sense to put a little bit of pressure on people because sometimes people don't know what's in their best interest and you have to tell them. And that comes from your own mentality as a salesperson. Before you go into any sort of sale, you need to believe in your deepest heart of hearts that the product or service that you have to offer is so important, is so valuable, is so necessary to your prospect that it would be a shame if they don't buy. It would be a shame if they don't become your customer or your client. And I believe that so wholeheartedly that when I'm talking to someone that's been in an accident and I'm so freaking good at what I do, it would be a shame if you went to another lawyer that didn't know what they were doing. And that's why we close so many people to become our clients, because I'm not selling you from a position of scarcity. I'm coming from a position of abundance. Dude, you deserve to have the best, and that's why you need to be my client. I want you to have the best. You need to have the best. Your family deserves to have the best, and that's why by the end of this call, by the end of this conversation, you will be my client. I believe that, and that's exactly why we are successful at closing so many clients for my firm. Before you try selling anything, make sure your mindset is right. Qualifying the lead and educating them is so, so important. And people can tell when you're passionate about your product or service. People can tell when you have a true fire inside you about your company and about your business. When people talk to me, I don't need to really sell them. I don't need to persuade them. I just educate them. And they will come to the natural conclusion that I am the best solution for their problem. And so this brings me to step five. We're gonna recap here. We got step one, grab attention. Step two is build rapport. And you do that by listening. Step three is qualify the lead. If they're disqualified, explain to them why they're not a client and help them because they could be a referral source in the future. You still want to take care of those people. Don't shun them. If they are qualified, you go straight into educating that prospect about all of their pain points and the issues and how you can solve all of those problems for them. And step five, assume the sale. In my opinion, if I've qualified someone, if I've talked to them, I've grabbed their attention, and I've done all the necessary steps, and I've educated them about everything, I don't need to actually sell them. They're gonna come to that conclusion on their own. So I just assume the sale. And so this is where you go into the closing stage of the case, closing stage of the conversation. And how do you assume the sale? Well, you give people two options. Both of them are actually yes. So, example, cash or credit. Hey man, this seems like it's gonna be a great fit, fantastic. All right, I just have a quick question for you. Is cash or credit card gonna be easier for you? The answer is both yes, right? You don't ask, hey, would you rather buy now or later? Most people, if they have an out, they're gonna take it. So don't give people an out. By the time you've grabbed their attention, built the rapport, qualified the lead, educated them, now you just assume the sale and go for the close. So if someone has the option of outing and coming back later to buy, don't give them that option. Once you give them the two options of yes now or yes now plus this, they're going to pick one of them. And if they don't, this is when you start going into a little bit more of the persuasive strategies that I like to use. One of those persuasive strategies is the scarcity. So I like to include scarcity in that sales process. If someone says, oh man, well, you know, I don't think credit card or cash is the right option right now. Let me just think about it. Hey, well, did you know there's only X amount of these available? Did you know that this sale is going to end by the end of the day? Did you know that we had 52 people come in to ask for the same product and it literally is the last one? And I believe that this is going to solve your problem so well that it would be a shame if you don't have it. And if that's not enough, obviously there's so many different ways that you can include scarcity. The next thing to do is to minimize friction. People like to buy what they don't like to be sold. And so the way I like to get people to buy is to say, give them an out later. I want a commitment today, but you can always get out of it later. So we've already addressed all of your pain points. We know that this is a product or service that you need. So I minimize friction by saying, look, the truth is, there's only X amount of these available. We're going to have this sale ending. And I know that right now when you go home and you decide to make that decision, it's not going to be that you're really gonna sit there and pontificate about it for a week. You're just gonna go and as you're casually getting dressed or getting ready to go to work or whatever, you're gonna remember, oh, I had that conversation with Ali and you know what? I should go ahead and do it. And that's just a 5-second decision. So instead of waiting for that and you missing out on this phenomenal opportunity, how about I give you a 100% money back guarantee. That way, if you buy it and for any reason you're not happy, just give me a call, I'll gladly refund you. No questions asked. I just want you to have it now because I honestly have spoken to so many other people and I think this is a best fit for you and you deserve it. And I feel like it would be a shame if I didn't give this to you. I would not be doing my job. I would not be doing my intended purpose and living out my true, necessary reason for being here if you didn't walk away with this product or service today. I feel like I failed because I didn't explain to you really why you need this. Scarcity, minimize friction, 100% refund, feel free to give it a 7-day trial, just give me your credit card information, whatever it is, get that commitment today. And I promise you, over 90% of them are going to keep that product or service. They're not going to ask for a refund. So those are just some of the things that I've learned over the years. Obviously, it's a different situation and different strategies given the circumstances. Some people, they do need that extra push. Some people, they do need to be forced-sold. You really have to read your audience and understand the person that you're selling to. There are some people that they're just very, very difficult, and no matter what, they're not buying. And honestly, with those people, if I don't have anything else to do, if there's no other leads, no other customers, I'll sit there and spend an hour with someone. Hey, let's talk. I don't have anything else going on. I'm going to explain to you why I'm such a great fit, and you might refer some other people to me even if you don't become my customer. But if I'm in a rush and I need to just like hit a specific sales quota, then my goal would be to find the person that is the most excited about my product or service and go to them first. Because it bypasses the attention grabbing, it bypasses the building the rapport, and it bypasses the qualification criteria. If someone comes up to you and they're like, hey man, I want to buy what you have to offer, or I need to hire you, hey man, I need your help, that's a lay down. You don't even really have to close them, right? You just assume the sale and move on. But for the people that need a little bit more work, it just depends on where they are in that process. If you haven't yet qualified them, then they're a little bit earlier on. If you haven't yet built rapport with them, then they're a little bit earlier on. If you haven't even grabbed their attention, then this is like starting the sales process all the way from the beginning. So that's my tips on how to close people, a couple of sales strategies. I've grown up selling car audio wheels and electronics and built online businesses, learned so much about the right copy and how to put your pictures and how to maximize the footprint when someone is reading your posting online and how to do drop shipping. And honestly, the more questions you ask, the more I can give you. But I hope at least during this podcast, it was beneficial for you. And if you have any feedback or any questions on what you think you'd like to hear on future shows, just comment on our social media, comment on our YouTube, or just shoot me a DM. I'm always looking for constructive criticism. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll see y'all on the next one.